time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast to help you learn how to thrive and grow in your life, no matter what life throws at you. I am a full-time thriveologist and a part-time thriver, and today I'm going to admit to a lot of that struggles to thrive. And what that means is that on an ongoing basis, every day, all through the day, I'm working to learn and help others to thrive. And sometimes I manage to apply it to my own life. Not always. It's an imperfect process. But that's what we're all doing. We're all trying to figure out better ways of thriving in life, no matter what life throws at you. So the process that we do on this is to talk about some issues that may be impacting your life. And today I want to talk about one that's impacted my life in the past. Today we want to talk about how to stop striving and start thriving. Now, a lot of people would say, well, you know, what you're telling me to do is give up. And that's not what I'm doing at all. In fact, quite the opposite. Let me tell you a little bit of a story that might illustrate this. A number of years back, and this is a period of time when I've talked about many times, is before I got sick and at a period of my life when I really was not in great shape. I'd been working on my PhD, trying to finish up a dissertation, and in the process, I'd gained some weight and stopped exercising. And so I was visiting my brother. Now, my brother at that point was in much better shape than I was, and he lived up in the mountains in Virginia. And we went to an old set of mountains that where we used to camp, where we used to go to camp. And so these were the Peaks of Otter, and it was the Twin Peaks. And so my brother said, hey, why don't we climb one of the peaks? And I said, oh, okay, let's do that. And so we started up, and up we went. And I was getting more and more tired and more ready to give up on this process. And here's where it got interesting. My brother kept saying, you know, Lee, it's just a couple of switchbacks further. Just as soon as we clear through this, we're going to be at the top. Well, I would wait to get to the end of that. And about the time we would get to the end of that, there was more to go. I could see that the trail did not end. And he'd say, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm mistaken. And it was a little further up. And so he would tell me it was a few more switchbacks and we would continue up. And every time I was going, oh, I just can't wait until I get to the top and I finally see this view. And then we can come back down and I can, you know, take it easy. And we would go a little bit further and it was further up. And every time we went a little further, my brother would reassure me that it was just a little bit more to the top. I finally looked at him and said, now I understand how it felt like not to be Moses, but to be the people following Moses in the desert. Because my bet is that Moses kept saying, oh, just a few more months, not much further, just a little bit further and we'll get to the promised land. And they were constantly waiting to get to the promised land for life to begin. Well, we did finally get to the top of the mountain and it was a beautiful view. And then we came back down. And it started making me think about the fact that I didn't really enjoy that walk up the mountain. I really didn't enjoy the hike along the way. I didn't really notice the brooks along the side. I was waiting for that point when we got to the top and we finally had the view from the top. I missed the whole view of the mountain as we went back. That to me kind of sets up what is this place of striving. Striving is based on the notion that you'll be better or richer or stronger or more acceptable or something else when something happens out there in the future. Now, the problem with that is it keeps you frustrated and anxious and most importantly, out of the moment, always looking for what's going to be coming your way. When's the right job going to be there? When's there going to be enough money in the account? When are the kids going to be old enough to do things? When is the house going to be big enough to finally enjoy it? When's the view out the window going to be nice enough to write the book? When is the guitar playing going to be good enough to write the song? When is, and you fill in the blank. We have it throughout our life where we're just kind of waiting for that point. I think in some ways, we're set up for this. I watched my kids come through school and I think it's become more and more pronounced that at every stage you're getting ready for the next stage. And so when my kids were in elementary school, actually it started in kindergarten. When in kindergarten I heard people saying, you know, what are you going to do about elementary school? Where are you going to go? And you got to get a good kindergarten to get a good head start to get them in the right place. And then they got into elementary school and all the pressure of elementary school was to get ready for middle school because you got to pick the right middle school because that's going to lead to the right high school. And so they were pushing and pushing for getting ready for middle school in the process, missing the whole elementary school process. Then in elementary school, after we finished that, we got to middle school. And at middle school, the pressure was on. You got to get ready for high school. You got to get in the right high school. You got to prepare yourself to get in the right track, to be in the right place, to finally get to that place where you're at the right place in school, only to find that the right place in school was getting ready for college. Now, the college process is just about behind us, at least the choosing process. I've got one child who is looking at the last part of her junior year, and a son who is finishing up his high school and already has figured out his college. And so I'm kind of looking back at this in hindsight, but I see that the process doesn't stop. So as they were going through high school, it was preparing to find the right place to be in college and taking the test and taking the courses that would get you ready to get to the place that you wanted to. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to get to somewhere else. The problem is we stop being in the process. So no elementary school because we're headed for middle school. You know, what really wasn't about that elementary school process. And then in middle school, you're so busy getting ready for high school. And in high school, you're so ready getting ready for college that there's no chance to sit back and say, what's going on right now? What am I enjoying about this experience right now? And you know what happens in college? The pressure is now on for graduate school or for the career and probably both to get ready for the next step. So we're almost in some ways educated out of enjoying what's going on right now to trade in for what's finally going to happen down the road. So what happens after college? You get into a career, but that career is really probably about finding the next step up so you can finally get to the job you really want. And along the way, the years slip by. And along the way, the expectation of what's going to finally get you there goes a little bit further ahead. It's kind of like that climb up the mountain. I didn't enjoy the climb up the mountain because I was waiting for the view at the top. And the view at the top was only a few minutes before we had to start back down, kind of like life. You know, by the time you get to the apex, you're headed on down the other side. And so we have to be careful about that whole striving piece. Now, again, let me be clear. This is not about settling. It's not about giving up. It's not about just saying, okay, well, here's where I am, and that's just the way it is. Thriving is about accepting where you are right now, knowing that something else is out there, but not being so caught up in what's out there that you don't enjoy what's going on now. Now, sometimes we even play that game with what's already happened to us, and we keep kind of trying to think about what really should be because of where we are. And Lenny Bruce had a quote. He says, "The what should be never did exist, but people keep trying to live up to it." There is no what should be. There's only what is. Now, this brings us to the idea of what Thomas Leonard, one of the fathers of personal coaching, called being in the present perfect. And what he said is, and this isn't a grammar lesson, right? It's not about the present perfect and grammar, but about the fact that the present is perfect. Because where we are is the exact place where we could be, not where we might want to be, but where we could be, given where we've been, what has happened, what we've done. And so Thomas talks about the cause and effect, that the past is the cause and the present is the effect, that what happened in our background, what happened, how we responded to the world, how the world threw stuff at us that we didn't have any capacity of choosing, but then how we deal with it, leads to how the present is. Yesterday, I had the enjoyable task of changing out a car battery. And the reason I chose to change it out yesterday was not because we found it was a dead battery, but because earlier this week, when we had a particularly cold blast of air, I realized that it was starting a little bit slow. And there was a time in the past when I waited until somebody tried to turn the key and all they heard was the click, click, click of a dead battery, and I had to do it on the fly. You know, I had to rearrange my whole life and be frustrated about that battery that failed me, that I realized that this time I could do something different. I could affect my future by dealing with it now. And so I was able to drive the car with the battery to the store, take the battery out in their parking lot, take it in, and I didn't have to take another trip to do my exchange. I could put the other battery in and go on my way, having realized that I had then affected the present. So it wasn't the cause and effect, where the cause was I'd waited so long to change the battery that finally it was dead and there was nothing I could do but scramble around and then talk about how bad my day was because I had this crisis, or I could get in front of the crisis and deal with it. That's cause and effect. The effect can change when we start learning from the causes that are behind us. The problem is we often only find ourselves upset by the causes and not realizing that we've lived into some of that. That sometimes we haven't dealt with some things when we could have in a timely manner, and they build up on us. Let's think about relationships. Sometimes we're amazed at a relationship falling apart on us when we haven't spent time nurturing it, when we haven't provided support to the other person, when we haven't been available emotionally, when we haven't taken the time to interact in that relationship. And suddenly we're so surprised when it's dead and we start looking for who to blame. The battery died on the relationship and we start looking for whose fault it is, forgetting that maybe we played a part in that. Maybe the cause of this back there led to the effect of the relationship being dead because we didn't take the time to nurture it along the way. What gets us out of that place? Well, it's part of that striving thing where we begin to create our world based on when this happens. This is often what I talk about as the if-then problem. We talk about if this happens, then this happens. If I have $1 million in the bank, then I'll feel secure. If I make partner at the firm, then I'll be happy. If I find the right person to be in my life, then I'll have a happy future. If somebody gives me a gym membership, then I'll go exercise. If I finally wake up in the morning and feel better, I'll go for a run. And we always have the if then. And the if then keeps us trapped. And I would suggest that there are two words that keep us in the striving mindset. One is if, and the other is when. If and when. So if, and we look into the future, and when is looking into the future, both of those create a place out there that has to happen before we can get to the place where we're happy. The problem with that is it's always a little bit ahead of us. As I was climbing up the mountain, the top of the mountain was always a little beyond where I was being told it was. It was always a little bit beyond what I could live through. And what that caused for me is the constantly waiting to get there. Instead of the fact that that mountain, which I've climbed since then, is a beautiful climb along the way. The rhododendron are beautiful along the path. The brook that goes under a number of times is beautiful, and to be able to see the little brook trout in there is stunning, and to look at the wildlife that's out there and this little path that takes you to the top of the mountain was not to be missed for the top of the mountain. And that's part of that place of getting to the place of saying, I'm not going to strive to get somewhere, I'm going to thrive where I am. That often changes our perspective. And one of the things it brings to us is personal responsibility. To be able to say, I am here, now what do I do, is different than saying, I'll finally click in when this happens. When I finally have my degree, then I'll get started. When I finally have that job, then I'll get started. When I finally am making a decent paycheck, then I'll get started. When I finally have the relationship I want, then I'll get started, is different than saying, here's where I am. Now what do I do from here? I am here now. What do I do? Now, this is not about not having any plans, although I think sometimes plans are very dangerous, but it's about making plans, but recognizing that they are only thoughts and ideas. We can act on them, but then disconnect from the outcome. What I mean by that is we don't know where the road's going to bend. We don't know what's going to happen to us, and sometimes we get so wedded to our plans that we can't make the sidesteps along the way. We can't dodge because we're so frozen into that one place of being. We can't find our way beyond that. When I was writing a book years ago, it's been 15 years ago, I was busy writing the book, and I really had all intentions of writing it as a regular book, of going to a publisher, getting it published, having it in a bookstore. And along the way, somebody said to me, hey, what about an ebook? Now, 15 years ago, the only response I had was, what's an ebook? And this person told me about putting it as a downloadable, available book on the internet. And so I did that first. That was where I started. And that began the process of my program in saving marriages. And if I had gone the other way, I would have probably been lucky just to sell a few copies, because that's the nature of book selling these days. Instead, I was able to create something that has had an impact on people around the world because somebody said, hey, what about an ebook? And I was willing to say, what's that? And what would that look like? And so at that moment, what I realized is it's not that I do it all the time. Many times I'm too tied to what's down the road. But sometimes I can say, well, let's see what develops out of this. Let's kind of let this play out a little bit rather than insisting on my goals and my plans being the way it has to happen. Because usually when we have our plans, they're going to be thwarted many times along the way. And when we're caught up in them, then we're stuck on a path that may have many other outcomes to it. So when we have this idea of being disconnected from the outcome, what we know is that there's a direction we want to go. We just don't know what's going to happen along the way. It's kind of like being on that path up the mountain and enjoying every step along the way, because you might get to the top of the mountain and all it is fog. All it is a fog bank that you can't even see through. And so it's not a wasted trip if every step of the way we enjoyed along the way. So the goals become optional, and there's something to orient around rather than strive for. If you say, you know, my goal is to write a book, that could happen in so many different ways these days. It might be that you say, well, instead of that, I'm going to do a series of magazine articles. Or you could say, you know what, I'm going to do a podcast, and that's how I'm going to share this information. And so sometimes we have to step back and say our goals are optional. There's something just to orient around, not something that has to happen, because let's face it, things change every step of the way. Octavio Paz says, the supreme value is not the future, but the present. Whoever builds a house for future happiness builds a prison for the present. Whenever we're striving for a goal, we never know if we're going to hit it. We never know if we're going to be able to get there. But there's steps every step along the way, every moment along the way, we can thrive. As you may recall, my word for this year is present. And part of that is that the present moment is what I have. And the other is to be present in the present moment. And so part of this podcast is to remind me and to remind all of us that whenever we're striving, whenever we're waiting for something that will finally complete us, make us happy, make us content, somehow make life better that's out in the future, we're striving rather than stepping back and saying, how can I thrive where I am right now? How can I enjoy this moment? How can I find the treasure of this moment? How can I deal with this moment? If it's a difficult moment, how can I deal with it and live in this moment? As we've talked about in a prior interview that I had, the present moment matters. This moment matters. Make this moment your thriving moment, and stop trying to strive for what might be down the way that would make you happy. Recognize that happiness is right here, right now. Whenever it's down the road, it's a conditional if-then that can keep you stuck. Don't build a house for future happiness that creates a prison for the present. If this has been helpful for you, I want to do a special invitation for you. I don't have any ads on this program. I don't ask for people to pay to get this material. I make it free to everybody, but it's kind of like NPR. You know, if you found value in this and you would like to support the Thriveology podcast, there's a way to do that now. There is a program and a website, Patreon, that will let you find some ways of funding creations that you want to be a part of. And so if you have found this to be useful, if you found the Thriveology podcast to be helpful for you and has helped you grow, let me invite you to join me in this. Now, while I make this material free, it's not free to me. It takes me hours of time to create it. It takes me financial resources to keep it up, to keep it hosted, to create the resources for this. And so I'm inviting you to help me in this process. And you can decide how you want to support it. It could be even a dollar per month or a dollar per episode, but there may be some price that you say, you know what? This was really worth it to me. I really got my $1, $5, $10, $20 out of that, and I want to support this so that it's available for people no matter what. If they can't pay, I'm going to step back and support. So there's an easy way of doing that, and there's a simple website you can go to. So wherever you are, if you can just type in your browser, Thriveology.com, and that's THRIVEology, Thriveology.com/support, SUPPORT. That's Thriveology.com/support. That will take you to my Patreon page and will give you a chance to figure out what that's all about. It's not going to obligate you to anything, but if you want to support this, I've had a number of people say, how can I get behind this? How can I help you with this? This is one way of helping me. So if you want to be a part of this, please visit my Patreon website and decide what value you've received from this. Otherwise, I wish you the best for a thriving world where you're not striving, but you're living in the present moment. Now go thrive.
Been listening to the Thriveology podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled THRIVEOLOGY. It's your life. Time to live it.